Hello and welcome to my latest Matchpod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. It's Derby Day in Manchester. It's a 12:30 kickoff. Manchester United versus Manchester City under the what is now the Jason Wilcox regime. That is what it is. Mr. Crybaby, he's shouted at by the manager, so he sacks him. As I've said before, he's not fully blooded on them, the appointment of Amorim, but it's quite sad that the sporting director's making decisions on tactical decisions when what he should actually focus on is actually buying a midfielder for the manager. United haven't bought a midfielder for God knows how long. Their midfield is the worst in the Premier League. You would think after being at the football club that Berada and Wilcox are football people. They're not clueless idiots like hashtag Dickhead Woodward and Richard Arnold and Matt the Clues Judge, John Murta. Well, you would sort of think, yeah, we need a midfielder, but nothing's been brought in. Reports from, to be fair to the journalist who brought it out, he is a good journalist who has a very good track record. United in talks with a secret midfielder. Why is it such a secret? I mean, the fact that they try to sort of keep it quiet has failed already, because the fact that somebody knows they're in for a midfielder, they probably have to work with the journalist, and maybe exclusive rights for the midfielder, that's probably never ever going to be signed. But and also it's a bit weird that you'll sign one once you've brought in the interim Michael Carrick, which, you know, that's, I mean, it could be worse. I think I mentioned before, we could have got another ex Middlesbrough manager who was sacked from that club in Gareth Southgate. He's been bleating on this week as well about the manager's authority being eroded. Well, you know what, Gareth? Just don't become a manager again. Thank you. Especially at Old Trafford. McCarrick's in, obviously. It's a low bar, but this is the level and the lack of standards at this football club, which, as remember what Sir Rat said, we're looking at best in class. As I say, Roy Keane's had a bit of a pop at some of the coaching staff, which I completely understand, because what have they done in football? And I mean, I've listened to a radio show, one I listen to all the time, that's really good, and one of them mentioned Roy Keane and put Michael Carrick ahead of Roy Keane as a manager. Don't think Michael Carrick's got a team promoted from the Championship into the Premier League. So you're wrong there, mate. You're wrong. But as I say, I would love to see Roy Keane in the as assistant manager, just to basically just hammer some of these absolutely disgraceful players who always seem to get away with it. I said, even under the Erik ten Hag situation, if you were going to give him a new contract, get rid of players. United can't sell players. To be fair, they have brought in some good players further forward, but there's big issues in defence, there's issues there, so that needs to be dealt with. The midfield, we know already, I mean, probably up front, it's all sorted, although the Fernandez-Cunha situation needs to be resolved. And to be fair to Michael Carrick, he's resolved that by putting Cunha on the bench, although Cunha deserves to be on the bench for his performances, but they both can't play in the same team for me. But anyway, in regards of the team, it is Lemenz and goal. It's a back four, back. It's back to the past with Dalot. When's Mazraoui back again? Morocco in the final, so probably against Arsenal. Or maybe the game after that, because I don't know if they win. He may be celebrating, although... yeah, so we'll see when he's back. But Dalot right back. Luke Shaw comes back in at left back. And it's Maguire and Martinez as the centre-backs. So we'll be playing deep, because there ain't going to be any high line with that. I mean, Dalot's the quickest. The rest, very slow. So the midfield three is Casemiro, Mainu, and, well, I say midfield three, it'll be a two, because Bruno Fernandes will play further forward, as you say. I think a 4-3-3 was better for United, because the gaps are there with the fact that Bruno does push forward pretty high. And then you've got Ahmad back on the right. Dorgu's playing on the left. And then Bruno comes straight in through the middle. So Sesko actually is on the bench. 3 goals in 2 matches and he's stuck on the bench. But as I say, there must be a tactical reason for that. And, you know, you can look at a team when a game begins, or the team our managers put out and not be happy with it. But it's actually proof is in the pudding when they get on the pitch. And, you know, for Michael Carrick, as I say, he has literally got nothing to lose. You know, if he starts losing matches, matches regularly, then he'll have a lot to lose, because he'll understand the pressure of being a Manchester United captain. And when he did it, Manchester United manager, I should say, and when he did it as previously, he did drop Ronaldo for one match. I think it was a Chelsea game where United should have got the result. So when he was caretaker for three games, and he won two and drew one. I mean, a lot of people talking about, obviously, United, obviously, today. They're playing the top two in the Premier League in their next two matches. Obviously, City today, then Arsenal away next week. And then people are saying, well, you know, if he doesn't get a result in these two games, then we're really starting when we talk about our game after that, which is Fulham at home. No guarantee United are going to turn up against Fulham at home. As I say, these players who are more likely to turn up in the next two matches than they would have get a Fulham at home, I should say, because this is it. It's about them, the players who, as I say, get away with murder. Let's sack the managers, but let's always keep the same players. As I say, there's a churn of players, and you just look at the back four. There's definitely one player that shouldn't be at this football club, and you could argue there's two, and you could easily argue there's two, and some would say three, that shouldn't be anywhere near this football club, or at least not starting games. And, you know, United haven't progressed, and haven't refreshed their team because they can't sell players, because they give them ridiculous wages or give them ridiculous contract extensions with silly wages. But that's not on Wilcox, because that's the previous regime where there are people utterly clueless about football. This is why it's even more an indictment on Jason Wilcox that he sort of understands football. But as I've said to you before on the pod, Jason Wilcox is actually a naive, inexperienced sporting director, and we're actually seeing it happen in real time. And as I say, Sir Rat's best in class. United don't have best in class anywhere at that football club. And to be honest, I've talked about that since 2013, and I'll keep bleating on about it. And people who know me know I've been going on about it. As I say, my friend just said, give Edward the chance. I did. I gave him one transfer window, and that was enough. And the proof has been in the pudding right the way up to now. So, kickoff is in about half an hour. I'm just wandering off down to Linda's for the game. So, DDIM. Can Manchester United actually turn up? Can the players actually turn up? I mean, they could play well and lose like they did against Aston Villa, but at the end of the day, we're at the point now where it is about the results. Pep Guardiola has spoken about why have you been at the football club? This isn't an exact question, but it relates to this. You know, United have had five or six managers. Why are you still at Manchester City? And he talks about it. Results, results, results. You need to get results. It doesn't matter who you are as a manager. Last season, City had a bad run where I think they lost 7-8 or something, or 6-7. If that had carried on, Pep Guardiola would have gone. Because that's how football works. He understands that. He knows that. And you know, you need to be getting results. Obviously, he will have more leeway because he's obviously got an outstanding track record. But you can't keep losing matches. And as I say, in regards to Michael Carrick, he knows he's not getting the job in the summer. Although they did say that under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which is ridiculous. As I say, that was the moment, getting rid of Mourinho because the players wanted him out. Ole comes in. We're not going to get in a new manager until the summer. Ole does well for like a couple of months, really well to be fair to him. And then they employ him, and then things go downhill. And player power mushroomed from there, and it's still at this football club. As I say, now managed by Michael Carrick. As I say, it's the Jason Wilcox regime. But anyway, I will be back post-match with my thoughts. And all over Old Trafford, the Jason Wilcox regime has started with a bang. Manchester United 2, Manchester City 0. And if it had been 5 or 6, that would not have flattered Manchester United at all. They pretty much, not that they dominated from start to finish, but they were in control of the game, and they took their opportunities eventually to actually take the lead later on in the game. But it started off with, I mean, United should have been ahead early doors. Harry Maguire, a simple header, somehow he headed it against the bar. And a very fast start for Manchester United. There were other opportunities, passes. I mean, Bruno Fernandes had a couple of chances to put Mbeumo through, but just didn't quite get the pass right. He did later on, thankfully. And City, they had a lot of possession, but they weren't doing much with it. I mean, I remember when Mourinho talked about having possession means nothing if you don't do anything with it. You need to do something with it. And United were good at sort of nicking the ball out and then basically pushing forward. I talked about the defence and the midfield, really slow defence and midfield. There wouldn't be any high line. There wasn't. They were defending deep, but they were defending solidly as a team and making sure where Manchester City were trying to play those little sort of camps sort of just outside the edge of the Manchester United box. They were putting them under pressure, and when the ball went into the box, there were two or three players that were making sure that Manchester City couldn't break through that defence. And United were good at, they were breaking out well. They had two goals disallowed for offside in the first half. Firstly, Ahmad rounded the keeper, and secondly, Bruno Fernandes. Donnarumma had already made a couple of excellent saves in the match, one from Dorgu especially. There were saves that he should make, but you've got to be there to make them. He's doing what he's done pretty much his whole career, making those saves. He's doing a lot of sweeper keeping as well when United try to break through with longer boards. The only actual opportunity, I mean, because I was talking about it after the game, I couldn't think of a shot that Lemens had to save, but he did have to make one save from a corner that he gave away inadvertently with a header from I think it was a lane that headed it back, and then it was flicked on, and then him and Dallo, and we'll come on to Dallo later, cleared the ball off the line. So 0-0 at half time. I mean, the only time City was sort of really took some control of the game was sort of towards the end of that first half. And as I say, United were defending really well and making sure that they put the bodies on the line, as I say, when players can actually be bothered to put in any effort. And as I say, they always do tend to play and put in more effort when they're playing the so-called bigger teams in the Premier League. So I'll expect the same next week against Arsenal. Then into the second half, it was sort of the first 10, 15 minutes. There wasn't really that much going on, really, to be fair. City, again, they had a lot of the ball. United were trying to break out with speed, obviously, with Ahmad and with Mbeumo. And sort of up front, they were putting City under pressure. And then it was actually, funny enough, from a City corner, good clearance from Harry Maguire. Nice little flick from Mbeumo past the free kick take. I think it was Shirky. Shirky should have taken one for the team at that point. And then it was a 3-on-2, Bruno Fernandes and Mbeumo and Ahmad. And then the pass to Mbeumo was perfect. And the finish, he just didn't need to break stride, drilled into the corner at last, just before, I think it was around the 65th minute. United deservedly had taken the lead at that point. And it was a case at that point, right, what do Manchester City have? And this did lend itself and helped Manchester United even more, because basically City had to push forward much more into the Manchester United half and commit more players. Pep did make some substitutions. He made two at half time. Foden went off at half time to try and change the game. That's when Shirky came on. And even before the goal, and I should have mentioned this really, I just should write down on some notes really, but I don't bother with that. Casemiro, he missed her. It was a ridiculous miss. I mean, it was a nice. Ahmad was clear on the right. He cut in, drilled shot. Good save from Donnarumma. Casemiro 6 yards out on the angle. I mean, he tried to chip over his leg when he should just blasted it into the back of the net. And you're thinking at that time, that is a gilt-edged opportunity and an opportunity that has to be taken. Thankfully, as I say, just a few minutes later, Mbeumo opened the scoring. And then Cunha came on. He came on for Mbeumo to play in the as a striker. He got himself on the right-hand side, managed to get a crossing, and Dorgu, he was the one looking to get to the ball. The two City defenders not doing their jobs properly, and put it into the back of the net with 15 minutes to go. That was the least United deserved. Ahmad had a breakout and a shot that came off the post. Donnarumma might have actually saved that one. We're not quite sure from the replay. And as I say, 5 or 6-0 would not have flattered Manchester United today. They did actually get a third goal when Mason Mount, remember him, the list spot of Mason Mount, he came on and scored after a little breakaway. Cunha again on the right-hand side, crossed into Mason Mount, put into the back of the net, but it was offside. We didn't actually see the... the actual, so they tend to show sort of the automated offside visual, but that didn't actually come out. It must have been the first pass to Cunha, because Mount was way onside from the ball, because he was behind the ball. He does have football intelligence, fair to Mount's shame. The problem is he's always injured. But that was sort of by the by. United sort of held on 2-0, and it would say a well-deserved victory. We have to mention something that basically this is where, as I say, you can call out VAR, but I've spoken about this. It's the people who use VAR. And because Anthony Taylor, the senior ref, was a referee on the pitch, whoever the VAR person was, they bottled it, because Dalot should have been sent off. It was a red card. As I say, sometimes it's better to be a lucky general than a good general. To be fair to Michael Carrick today, he was a good general today and a lucky general, because it was a clear red card. That will be one that, when they do their programme, Michael Owen and Howard Webb, the apology will come into Manchester City. But after 10 minutes, basically, Diogo Dalot basically studs on the knee. The explanation was not a lot of force. It's ridiculous. It's awful officiating. I've talked about it when we played Brentford. That's come up as one of the errors when Nathan Collins pulled back Brian and Bruno, and they came out. The ball wasn't there. It's got absolute garbage. The people using it are absolutely shocking. And as I say, this was a classic example of, oh, it's Anthony Taylor. I can't sort of get him to look at the screen. If he got him to look at the screen, it's a clear red card. No doubt about it. But that little bit of luck, as you say, 11-11, United were no doubt were the best team. That, without a doubt, they were the best team. And fair play to Michael Carrick. He picked his team and he's got the tactics right. I spoke about, you can look at a team, not necessarily like it, but it's what you do on the pitch. And they got it right on the pitch with the way the tactical set up and the way the game sort of turned out. As I say, United could have easily won by a lot more goals than they actually did. But it's a huge win, because you're playing the top two in the league sort of at the time. Obviously, Villa can go above Manchester City now. And it's a case of you can sort of think to yourself, it's a bonus 3 points. And with that little bit of fortune with the Dalot situation, United have fully taken advantage. And it is a case now, with, as I said to Linda, every home match United have got to play like that. No excuses. They've got to step up and they've got to be right in the faces of whoever they're playing. You know, next home match is Fulham in a couple of weeks. They'll need to step up and they'll need to show that they can do that on a regular basis. Whoever is playing, they'll need to do that. And as I say, Manchester City are a side that sort of, they will press and they will push and they will try to score goals against it. But you will also have teams that come to Old Trafford that just sit back, and United will have to find a way of breaking through any sort of low block and dealing with breakouts. Because as I say, the way the defence was set up today, they ain't going to be playing any sort of high line. They're too slow to get back. They were brilliant with the blocks because they were in the right place and working in teamwork. As I say, in regards to Michael Carrick, fair play. I mean, you had the idiots, and idiots at Sky anyway, apart from Roy Keane, to be honest, saying Daniel Sturridge and Micah Richards, absolute clueless idiots. Oh, yeah, well, if Michael Carrick continues to do this, then you should give him the job. You're telling me Michael Carrick's going to win 17 games? If he wins 17 games, yeah, give him the job. But let's be perfectly honest. Look what happened under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He won his first 8 or 9 games. They gave him the job. And look what happened towards the end of the season. There has to be no decision on any manager until the end of the season. And Michael Carrick should not even be in the list. His job is to do well for Manchester United. And then if he does well for Manchester United, who knows what could happen. But you've got to then look at the situation that he's going to be a commodity that other clubs will want to do. This is a plus for him. And obviously, hopefully, it's a beneficial for Manchester United. So all the talk about Michael Carrick being the Manchester United manager just because he's won his first match in a Manchester derby. Yeah, they should have won by more, but we know how football works and we know what this Manchester United team is like. They could easily turn up today and get the result, but then go to Arsenal, Fulham, then the game after that is Spurs. They could easily drop the ball and be back to what we're more used to, let's be perfectly honest. As I say, I called the players out before the game. you know, fair play, they've stepped up today, but they have to step up every week. But as I say, these players, they tend to only step up when it matters for them. And they say, and I'll sort of give a leeway to players like Mbeumo and Cunha, who are new to the players who have come in the last couple of seasons, but players who have been there a long, long time. They've been there, they've seen this, they're overpaid, they never play consistently, they don't earn their wage. But they play well today, so they think, great, that's sorted. And let's be perfectly honest, the best football club today is Manchester United. Manchester is red. The best football club in Manchester today is Manchester United. But let's be perfectly honest, the best football club in Manchester, unfortunately, from my point of view, is Manchester City. I remember the days when we would lose to Manchester City in a derby or not get the result we wanted, but then we'd be challenging and winning league titles and trophies later in the season. Manchester United not winning the trophy this season, just remember that. And I think they're like, they moved up to fourth or fifth or whatever. But so it is a case that they have to build on this. You know, we're apparently meant to be a big football club. We're not a big football club, for what I'm saying. We're a big club, but we're behind our City rivals. They've been above us in the league for about the last 10 years. So we've got work to do. Yes, go away, celebrate, be happy. I'm happy. But you have to look at the long term as well, because this football club, the standards are through the floor. The standards were better today. Let's see if they can keep those standards moving on against Arsenal. And then we've got Fulham, Spurs. And then obviously the game towards the end of the season. One game a week. Energy, power, purpose. Trying to dominate games and be the best side. So there's no questions to say today. They matched that with the best team, and they deserved to win the game. And as I say, could have been 5 or 6, no, they've had any complaints. But they have to be consistent with the performance, and the players will need to step up. So we'll see if they can do that next week against Arsenal, who will be top of the league when that game takes place. So as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk. www.mufcglobal.co.uk. All pods up of Airs Podcast Platform, just Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCast, Podchaser. Search MUFC Global in your favourite search engine and it will come up. Arsenal away next. Let's, you know, enjoy the night. Manchester is red for today, but you want to make Manchester red as it used to be, where we were the best side in Manchester. And we were challenging to be the best side in Manchester, which means challenging to actually win trophies and to win titles, which Manchester United side have not been doing. So, keep the talk of Carrick getting the job to a minimum, please. As I say, if he wins all 17 games, give him the job. Other than that, no chance. Let's see what Jason Wilcox, he started well for you. You have got the result that you wanted, but you know, and this is why with Jason Wilcox, he does understand football. You know, things can change very, very quickly, and he has plenty of work to do. And this is on him, how Manchester United season goes, and also the future after that. So as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back after the Arsenal game next week.